Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Chicago's Legal Latte, a series of podcasts brought to you by Lavelle Law Limited. Throughout this series, the attorneys from Lavelle Law will share their answers to questions about a variety of topics for individuals and small businesses. To participate in today's discussion, you can email us at podcast@lavellelaw.com.
After doing these podcasts for more than 4 years now, here's what I need to know. How does someone get through law school in 3 years? It seems to me that week after week we find new topics to discuss here on Chicago's Legal Latte, and the list just seems to continue to grow. Hi, everybody. This is Jim Mitchell, and while I only get 15 minutes a week, it is certainly interesting to see all of the intricacies and variations on topics and laws that we can uncover. Fortunately for you, the listener, it's not my knowledge you need to rely on, but rather that of my guests who stop by each week and share information with us on this wide range of legal topics. Now, today, we're going to return to family law and the more specific element of that, divorce. And we've had numerous discussions about divorce proceedings in the past, and today we're going to take another view as we discuss cases in which someone wants a divorce, but their spouse has abandoned them or just taken off and can't be found. To guide us through these legal views and discussions today is attorney Heidi Kuffel of Lavelle Law Limited. She's going to kind of walk us through and give us some information on how this might be done. So first of all, good afternoon, Heidi. Nice to have you back with me again.
Thanks, Jim. Nice to be here.
Now, as I mentioned in that intro, we're going to discuss situations in which someone wants a divorce for whatever reason, and they have no idea where their spouse is. Now, does Illinois state law allow for actions like that?
Illinois does allow for actions like that, and it sounds like maybe an atypical situation, but it happens more frequently than you might think.
And tell me about the process. I mean, if the client comes to you and says that they'd like to pursue divorce, they have no idea where their spouse is, does it mean you need to do things differently, or do you kind of approach it the same way in the court?
Yeah, it's definitely different, especially regarding service. But the process starts out pretty much the same as far as we file a petition for dissolution. One of the key differences in there, though, is usually you're listing both the petitioner and respondent's address. Since they obviously don't know where the respondent is in there, they would basically just be placing that in there and then just putting in their physical address. They might say something along the lines of, you know, the current address is unknown and can't be found upon diligent inquiry.
Okay. And it's something I certainly want to talk about a little bit today, what has to happen in terms of that inquiry. Before that, though, a question comes to mind, and we've talked about this spouse being off somewhere, abandoned, disappeared, whatever the case might be. Does the time period matter? As an example, must that spouse be out of communication for 30 days or 90 days or a year's period? Does it matter at all in the process that you just described?
It doesn't really, I guess, it doesn't necessarily matter as far as the time frame. There isn't like a specific time frame that they that suddenly allows you to go under and do a divorce this way. But I will say, as far as the diligent inquiry, if it's been a lot shorter period, I believe that the court would be expecting you to sort of have a better handle upon finding that spouse and really putting your effort forth with that. And I think that they'll definitely hold you, or it'll hold you to higher standards the shorter the time period it's been. And there's nothing in writing saying that, but just based upon my experience with the time period, yes.
Interesting. Okay. All right, so you mentioned the petition that would be filed. What happens next in a case like this?
After the petition is filed, the petitioner should file a motion for service by publication. One of the most important parts of this type of default divorce proceeding is getting notice in some capacity. And what they have set up for this, since you don't have respondent's address, what you're asking for is to serve by a publication, providing notice to the respondent that way. And this will work to fulfill the court's requirements regarding notice.
So that's kind of like the legal notices we'd see in the newspaper for property or things
exactly.
Like that.
Exactly, yes.
And can that be any publication that they would put that in then?
It's supposed to be a publication within your county of residence. And like in Cook County, it'll go on the Chicago Daily Law Bulletin. So it's wherever wherever that action is pending is the county that you're that you should be placing that publication in. And each county is specific as to where that publication should be placed.
Okay. And any other requirements that need to be met before that motion for service by publication can be entered, or is it pretty much what you've described so far?
No, it's pretty much what I described. And then as far as the what's included in that motion for service of publication, petitioner will basically state that they can't find the respondent, mm-hmm. that they've performed a diligent inquiry, and that there's no like friends or family that can connect them to that other to the respondent, and that they will allege like the last known address or county, right?
Now, tell me a little bit about, you've mentioned the diligent inquiry a couple of times. What does the court look for in terms of the effort that the filing spouse needs to go through to try and find the missing spouse, as it were?
Sure. And this also relates, as what we said, to that time frame, too. But mm-hmm. They want to know that you've covered, you know, all of the closer bases. Even if you're on, you know, poor terms with, you know, respondent's family, you should still be reaching out and asking, you know, if they can provide that information to you, if they know where the, you know, respondent can be found. So it's kind of like the closer network is the first go-round. And I've even had judges in court, you know, ask, did you do a Google search? You know, and that sounds really, mm-hmm. Really basic, but they just want to make sure that you're doing everything. So if you don't have the close-knit connection with the friends and family, that you're, you know, just trying something as far as like internet sources and seeing, you know, if there may be a LinkedIn profile, anything. But they want to hear that all of those actions have been taken prior to saying that, you know, it's a diligent inquiry.
Interesting. Now, we talked about the time period that the spouse may have been gone. Once this notice is posted or published, is there a sort of a response period then in which the court waits to see if anyone does surface before any other action takes place?
Yes. So generally, when you go into court on your motion for service by publication, they'll set a date that's a little bit further out so that it allows you to complete the publication period. And what we're looking for there is you're supposed to publish that for 3 consecutive weeks. And then after the 30 days has elapsed since the first publication and the respondent hasn't filed an appearance or answered, they consider that the notice being sufficient and you're able to then continue with your case.
Okay. Well, our topic for today, the case we're talking about, is divorce in instances in which one spouse cannot be found. Very interesting situation. And we're learning about how the individual seeking the divorce can manage that process. The information that's being shared comes from attorney Heidi Kuffel, an associate at Lavelle Law. And she recently posted several articles dealing with other family law topics. You can find those at lavellelaw.com. And in addition to her work on these family law matters, Heidi also active in litigation and employment law practice groups. You find all this information at lavellelaw.com. And I think it's a great place to stop and get some information. Phone calls can go directly to 847-705-7555, and they'll put you right through to Heidi or any of the other attorneys that can help you with a case. Now, as we look, Heidi, at this, you know, pretty unique situation, you mentioned the 30-day period for the publication notice. Assuming that no one responds, does the court then simply go ahead and grant the divorce? Is that kind of the tail end of the process, or is there more that follows?
So after that period, we would come back and show that the publication has been issued for the 3 consecutive weeks, and so seeing that they will and that there's been no answer or appearance, a default judgment will be entered. And at that point, we're able to set the case for a prove-up, which is the final step in the divorce proceeding. And as far as the prove-up script and what happens there is usually it's just the petitioner that will go to the prove-up. And at the prove-up, one of the big differences there is that the court, you must state in there that the court only has jurisdiction of the petitioner, since technically the respondent couldn't be found and the respondent wasn't really a part of the proceeding other than just for satisfying the notice requirements.
Okay. So if this instance is predicated on a spouse being gone, does that final phase then, assume then that all the assets and property are turned over to the petitioner and that there's nothing left for the spouse that's missing?
Right. That's a great question, Jim, actually, because assets and liabilities are not addressed in this, except for anything that you had either as like an inheritance or prior to the proceeding. Otherwise, it's a very simple divorce, in that you're literally just divorcing yourself from your spouse, and nothing is done with assets or liabilities.
Okay, and then you said this is, you know, more common than one might imagine, and I'm sure it's your experience, you've seen things like this. Now, have there been instances in which ultimately that person shows up later after the divorce has been granted, and is there any recourse, or do you then get into asset allocation at that point? Is it a whole new procedure?
I have not actually had any kind of missing spouse come back.
Okay.
That's okay. Generally in the dissolution, it'll be, you know, each party is just going to take their individual shares of their assets and their debts, and that's when I said nothing. That's what I meant by that. They will just split it. So you know, if since this is entered and already in existence, the spouse already got their half. So the only time that would ever be happening, I guess, is if petitioner or if the respondent would be coming back for, I guess, some of the marital portion or more or greater than the marital portion of the petitioner's share.
Okay. And again, going back to some of those time periods, especially the 30-day publication period and then the prove-up that follows, if someone is in this situation, divorces I know can really drag on. Is this tend to be a shorter and more succinct process just based on the fact that there's really no contention whatsoever?
Absolutely. It's very streamlined. So as long as you're going in there and you have your documents ready when you're filing, and then when you're ready to also do the publication, as long as you get that publication out as soon as you are granted the ability to do so, that also makes things pretty quick. And it is a fairly quick and streamlined process because there's no one else involved, and it's just the petitioner kind of moving through the system.
Okay. So I guess as we recap here, it sounds to me like the two key points to walk away from this are that it is something of a different process, which you as the attorney would certainly help them through. And really the main burden here is in that process of making a diligent effort to find the party. All right, well, let's wrap things up. As usual, we have kind of unfortunately run out of time. It always gets to the point where we can't fit everything in, but I certainly want to thank Heidi for being with me today. Once again, you can reach her or any attorneys at Lavelle Law by calling 847-705-7555 or seek out information about the practice groups, the various practice groups, .com. And now, if you'd like to find any of our previous podcasts, either featuring Heidi or other members of the firm, all available right here on Blog Talk Radio, as well as iTunes and at lavellelaw.com, where those articles are posted, you'll also find podcasts. You can kind of search through and find topics of interest. Now, next week, I will be joined by one of the partners at Lavelle Law, Timothy Hughes. We're going to have a discussion about the IRS and managing taxpayer debt, topic that we have touched on a few times in the past. We'll go into some new detail on that as well. And so I look forward to having you join me for that conversation. Thanks very much for being here today.
Thank you for joining us for this edition of Chicago's Legal Latte. If you have any questions or topics for a future episode, please call Lavelle Law Limited at 847-705-7555 or email us at podcast@lavellelaw.com. at lavellelaw.com.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.